So John's Gospel and chapter 20, many different readings I could have chosen for today, but this is on page 1089. Jesus is with his disciples. Jesus has already appeared to his disciples. And Jesus has stood with his disciples, he's breathed on them, and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And that must have been an extraordinary thing. And I kind of imagine that Jesus stands in the middle, and then he goes around each of them so they can feel the warmth of his breath. He breathes on them, "Receive the Spirit, receive the Spirit." And then we come to verse 24 of John 20. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many of the signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. So, since Easter, I've been following this theme through, the theme of resurrection. 10 weeks on the theme of resurrection. Resurrection stands at the heart of the Christian faith, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 15. If Christ is not raised from the dead, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then our faith is futile and we are still in our sins. And so it's important that we take time to reflect upon resurrection, and not just reflect on resurrection, but begin to reflect, what does this mean for our lives, the practical daily earthiness of our everyday lives. Each week I've invited you, hopefully I've encouraged you. If you have any questions about what I've said, feel free, perfectly free, to email me, minister@evesham-baptistchurch.org, and send me your questions or your comments, your agreements, your disagreements. Last week, I was very chilled, and it was good stuff, you know, a little bit political. I don't think it was controversial. John? But it was there, you know. I should touch on that in just a second. But I haven't been asked any questions, you see. I don't know whether I'm getting away lightly or you're just going with it or something. I don't know. Okay, so resurrection, what have we looked at? Reveals the power of God's love. Resurrection is the key revelation of the love of God. How does God raise Jesus from the dead? What power does God use? He does not use power like we know power. He uses the power of love, which is beyond our utmost imagination. We cannot conceive the immensity, the beauty, the extraordinary nature of the love of God. And we are touched by that love. And it is by the love of God that Jesus is raised. The resurrection breaks the power of sin and death. Resurrection confirms that Jesus is Lord. Resurrection anticipates the gift of the Holy Spirit. Resurrection vindicates the teaching of Jesus and vindicates the life of Jesus. When God raises Jesus from the dead, God is saying yes to the life of Jesus, and yes, to the teaching of Jesus. Now, that is a problem for all of us, or it should be. And if it's not a problem for you, then I wonder whether you've read the teaching of Jesus, or you've read the life of Jesus. Because God says yes to the teaching of Jesus. And there is plenty in the teaching of Jesus and the life or lifestyle of Jesus that I balk at. And think, I say, really? Do you really want me to love my enemies? Do you really want me to forgive those who hurt me? Do you really want me, if I have two of something, to give the one away? Do you really want me to turn the cheek? Do you really want these things? Do you really want me to live a life of love and love and love and love and love, even if they crucify me for it? Is that really what you want for me? And God, in raising Jesus from the dead, says yes to the life and teaching of Jesus. And if we've got a problem with that, we've got a problem with that. There's no other way around it. You know, God raises Jesus from the dead. And then we had last week, the resurrection challenges the powers and authorities. The fact that God has raised Jesus from the dead and declares Jesus to be Lord of lords and King of kings and President of presidents, Prime Minister of prime ministers, over all earthly powers, impacts us, and it should impact the way we vote. On the cross, when Jesus is crucified by the powers and authorities, what do they say to Jesus? The powers and authorities say no to Jesus. And what they're saying is no to the way of Jesus, no to the teaching of Jesus, no to the life of Jesus. We do not want to live your way. And if powers and authorities say they are following the way of Jesus, the chances are they're taking a bit here and a bit there, and they've twisted this and manipulated that, as we sometimes see. But in raising Jesus from the dead, God says yes to Jesus. He's my Lord, he's my King, not the powers and authorities. And so the one who follows Jesus takes note of this and says, okay, this is a big deal. The resurrection impacts my politics, impacts the way I vote. But as, you know, reflection last week, nothing controversial there. You know, just go with it. But in a sense, I hope it is controversial. In a sense, I hope it does stir us up and challenge us about the way we think and the way we live. Number 8. Here we go, this week. The resurrection affirms the body and the stuff of creation. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead affirms the body and the stuff of creation. When you look in a mirror, did you look in a mirror this morning? I can't say I did, you know, but when you look in a mirror, who do you see? Or perhaps more particularly, when you look in a mirror, what do you see? Do you like what you see? What stories does your body tell you? For some people, to look in a mirror is to be told a story of shame. For some people, to look in a mirror is to be reminded of the words of others, that they are beautiful. All sorts of stories are told back to us when we look in a mirror. Most often when we look in a mirror, we think, God, I've lost a lot of hair. Brushing our teeth, I wish that wasn't crooked. I wish that my nose wasn't quite like that. I wish I wasn't so overweight as I am. I wish I could put on weight. I wish this and I wish that. And we might say, you know, our Christian faith has nothing to do with the body. And yet God raised Jesus from the dead. and in doing so affirms the body and the stuff of creation. Now, how do we get there? Well, Jesus, it's very obvious, Jesus is raised bodily from the dead. Jesus is raised bodily from the dead. And so when we read the gospel accounts of the resurrection of Jesus and what happened afterwards, what do we experience? We experience somebody who has sight, the same sight that he had before he was crucified. He can listen and hear. He has ears, just the same as he had before. He has touch, he has breath, he has presence, he has movement. Jesus is raised bodily from the dead. Now, it is also true that there is something different about this body of Jesus, the resurrected body of Jesus, because Jesus is able to enter a room and stand in the midst of the disciples without unlocking the door. And yet, once he's in the room, he is body. There is a physicality to Jesus. Now, of course, folks struggle over this. How do we refer to the body of Jesus? Somebody, I think Tom Wright, you may be aware of, he talks about the transphysicality. That's a good name. That's a good word to remember. Transphysicality of the body of Jesus. It's different than our bodies, and yet it's the same as our bodies. It is bodily. Now, why does this matter to us? It matters because in the resurrection, in raising Jesus from the dead bodily, God is affirming the body. I know that when I was growing up, I don't think anybody taught on this particular issue. But the teaching I kind of imbibed and took on was that my body, well, you know, my body is but a shell. Have you heard this? And we live in our bodies. But the body is going to fade away and end up as nothing. But I will live. Yeah? Yeah? And we make this distinction between body and soul. And we say, well, our body is mortal. Our soul is immortal. Our body will return to dust. But our soul will live forever. Is that true? Do you know where we get that idea? Who said Plato? Yeah, Plato, a Greek philosopher. It's not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting how we imbibe ideas? Plato, he spoke about the weakness of the body. The fact the body, the flesh, is going to disintegrate and return to the dust, but our soul is immortal and it will go on forever. The body, the Bible does not say our souls are immortal. It says that when God raises us, we will put on immortality. When God raises us, we will put on immortality. But we're not immortal yet. We are mortal, and we will die. How do we know this to be true? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus dies, and when Jesus dies, he is dead. Jesus, the one who died on the cross, was mortal. But God raised him from the dead, and he put on immortality. And how is Jesus raised? Is Jesus raised soul only? Or spirit only? Floating up to the heavens? Just a spirit, just a soul, just something ethereal? We might imagine that, and yet that's not what happened. God raised Jesus. How did he raise him? bodily. He raised the physicality of Jesus. And when you stop and think, this is mind-blowing. This is extraordinary. That God chose to affirm the body in this way. To say to you and to me, I affirm the body. God affirms the body. And he shows it in raising Jesus bodily. Did Jesus have to be raised bodily? No. But he did it bodily. So in the resurrection, God affirms the body. And I want to stress this to you today. In the resurrection, God affirms all bodies. God loves you. We say that. Have you ever thought God loves your body? You ever thought that? God loves your body. How can we say that? Because God put you in it. Beautiful verse that Aaron shared with us. You know, we are God's handiwork. We are woven together. We are weft together by God's hand. And he's put you in your body. You are your body. What's God going to do? Not very good job there, you know. Pretty poor here. If I did Ed again, I'd do him different. You ever think that? You know, if I did me, I'd do me different, you know. But God says, Ed, I love you, but I love your body. And we might struggle with that. We need to understand, in raising Jesus bodily from the dead, God affirms the body and God affirms your body. And when you look in the mirror and you think, crikey, you know, look at me. God says, I love you and I love your body. It is a masterwork. It is part of my genius in creation. Your body is part of my genius. And in the resurrection, God says yes to your body. Is that okay? If you're not sure about this, email me, you know. We live in an age in which the body is so important, isn't it? Images are put up on the internet, on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat and TV and in films and all these kind of things. And there's a perfect body. And we're all told, in a way that we don't fully understand, it's communicated to us that our body has to be such and such. That we need surgery and changes if our body doesn't look like whatever. And all of it is a lie. All of it is a lie. You don't need to be anything other than who you are, bodily. You are who you are. And if you're a bit overweight, why should you lose weight? Any of you? Why should you lose weight? The only reason you should lose weight is for health reasons, not for looks. Because you're beautiful as you are. But if your doctor says you could do with losing weight because of your heart, or you shouldn't drink so much because of your liver, whatever it is, you know, do it. But don't do it for looks. Because God loves you and he loves your body. And in the resurrection, God says yes to your body. Now, the title today is God Affirms the Body and the Stuff of Creation. That was one of my better lines, you know. He affirms the body and the stuff of creation. Because not only in resurrection, God affirms the body, the bodiliness of us. And that's a wonderful thing. But not only that, in the resurrection, God says yes. Oops, I went backwards. God says yes to all creation. All created things. God says yes to. God affirms creation in the resurrection. Passage Romans 8. The Apostle Paul reflects and says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present day." We know the whole creation has been groaning. And the Apostle Paul is painting a picture of creation, as in the stuff of creation, animate and inanimate. All of creation, the Apostle Paul suggests that creation is longing for, to put it another way, is longing for salvation. All of creation, not just human beings, but the Apostle Paul suggests all of creation, everything God has created, is yearning, longing, groaning for salvation, to be saved. Creation is crying out to God, "Help. Help us." And so when we think about the resurrection, God affirms the body, but in the resurrection, by the bodiliness of resurrection, the physicality of resurrection, we need to understand God is affirming the stuff that is made by God. And we can reflect for a minute on creation and Jesus and the environment and ecology. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." And what did God say at the end of day one? He said, "It is good." And then he created again, and he created again, and he created again. And for 6 days, he creates and creates and creates. After every day, what does God say? As he looks at the stuff he's created, he says, "It is good." And then at the end, on the seventh day, it's as if God stands back and goes, "Okay, what do we make of this? You know, what do we see? What does God say? Not, 'It is good.' What does he say? It's very good." He's going, "Wow, that's all right, isn't it?" Do you know? God says it's very good to creation. All of creation. The Bible tells us, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, possibly. 17, 18, 19, if you're going to look that up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was in Christ reconciling. Now, in our Bibles it says reconciling the world to himself. The original word is reconciling the cosmos to himself. Okay? God was in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciling the cosmos, all created things, to himself. The Apostle Paul says creation is groaning, crying out, "Save us." However, creation cries out. And then Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, in Christ, God was saving creation, reconciling all things to himself. In Colossians chapter 1, is it Colossians 1:20? You know, God has raised Jesus. In order that, and he is the firstborn from among the dead, in order that all things might be gathered together again under Christ. We know those verses? And I might have mentioned this before. I remember when I was at college training to be a minister, and I remember my principal, every Wednesday, I think it was, a member of staff would lead a worship service and preach. And I remember one Wednesday, my college principal at the time preached on this passage in Colossians chapter 1. And he got to that phrase, "All things shall be gathered together under Christ." And he said, "I don't know what to do with it." What he should have done to say, God is in the business of saving stuff, saving creation. Everything God has created, everything that God has created and says it is good, and it is very good, he's not going to abandon any of it. But he's in the business of saving it. And when God raised Jesus bodily from the dead, bodily, so you could touch Jesus, the materiality of Jesus was so significant. God is affirming creation. Now this matters to us. And this matters to us when we think about our environment. It matters to us when we think about climate change. It matters to us when we think about what we are doing as a human race to our planet, to what God has created. Does God mind what we're doing? Of course he does. Because God said, it is good. Can't you see what a mess you're making? God said, it's very good. Don't you understand, God says, that I've got to bring all this back together under Jesus. I'm in the business of saving the planet, not abandoning it. And so it matters. So what we do to our planet, individually, as a family, in terms of communities and nations, the policies our government has about the environment, does it matter? It matters. Why does it matter? Because God raised Jesus from the dead. That's why it matters. And I put up the word ecology. Doing that which we can to save the planet. Changing the way that we live and petitioning others that they might live in such a way that we leave just the most gentle of footprints on the planet when we go. Are we getting this? It's all because God raised Jesus bodily from the dead. Stuff matters. Now, what we affirm is not just materiality. Richard Dawkins, as well as being an atheist, Richard Dawkins is a materialist. Richard Dawkins is a materialist. In other words, if he cannot touch it, if he cannot sense it, if he cannot analyze it, then he dismisses it. But God raised the stuff of Jesus from the dead. And we believe that that same God, who is outside of materiality, is more than what Richard Dawkins supposes. There is that which is material and there is that which is spiritual. And we affirm in the resurrection both the material, the stuff, and we affirm the God who created it all. If you have questions, and I'm guessing there could be a lot of questions. If you have questions about anything I've shared today, please don't hesitate to email me, and then beginning next week I'll be able to respond to it. I don't have to name you or anything like that, but just raise the issue. In the resurrection, God says yes. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the good news concerning Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, the lover of our souls. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for Jesus. Father, thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead. Father, help us in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, our souls. Help us to reflect and to take in the immensity, the wonder, the beauty of the resurrection. And help us to live lives that honour what you've done in Jesus. Pour out your Spirit upon us as we do so, for we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.